Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the Well Women Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Laura. Today, I am with my friend, Alyssa Blaze. Alyssa is the creator of the Be Mom Strong Training Academy, a holistic lifestyle approach to transforming your body and life after kids. With over 20 years in the fitness and health industry, and with a degree in health science, countless personal training and yoga teaching certifications, she has had the opportunity of working with some of the best in the health and fitness industry to help others create lasting lifestyle changes. Alyssa helps busy moms fit fitness and healthy foods into their routine to feel comfortable in their clothes, confident and stronger in their body, and to become healthy role models for their kids in a realistic and sustainable way without spending hours in the gym or kitchen. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, Laura.
Thank you for joining me on the podcast. I'm super excited for this episode.
Me too. Thank you so much for including me. This feels really awesome.
Yeah, and I really wanted to talk to you because you and I had met through mutual friends at a women's health event, and you're just such an expert in helping, especially moms, kind of get back to feeling how they want to feel, especially after having kids. And I feel like that's such a gap in the current fitness industry, is really helping with that kind of transition period, or whether it's even a transition period or after, but helping women kind of fit it all in.
Yes, absolutely. That's ever since I had kids, I really switched focus and gears in my coaching and the clients that I'm helping. And it's something that I also struggled with was figuring out how to fit fitness into my life after kids, even as a fitness professional. And so this is something that I really want to share with other moms that they how they can actually accomplish the things that they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, okay, I just stumbled upon this because of Instagram, but I didn't actually know that you were in fitness competition.
Yeah. Funny you
Tell
should
me.
check that out. So I was, yeah.
Yeah,
So that
tell me.
was sure. Yeah, I'd love to share that. So I feel like in the fitness industry, you end up dabbling in a bunch of different things. So yes, I've competed in fitness competitions back in my mid-20s. And it was something that I wanted to do to just like check it off the list to say that I did it. But I didn't actually realize how much effort it was going to take and how much dedication and discipline to get to a place that I needed to be in the basically the best looking shape that I could be to go on stage, you know, wearing the small little bikinis that we would wear and spray tanning ourselves and showing up there. And really was all about just how I looked. So I can say that I checked it off the list and that I did it. And it's not something that I compete in anymore. Basically it's part of my past, but it is something that I have experienced in my life.
Yeah, and I think that's great. And so talk to me about, a lot of times we're looking at whether it be fitness models or fitness gurus, and they do look a lot like you did in that photo. And I think everybody strives for those kind of standards when they're looking, oh, I want to be fit, and this equals fit, and this equals healthy. And tell me about your journey in terms of, was it healthy? Was it unhealthy? What are the sorts of things that you had to do to get yourself to that point so that people can really understand what it takes and if it is realistic?
For sure. So I can say that when I decided to do this, I wanted to work with somebody because I had no idea what I was going to do, what I was stepping into. So I did work with a coach, and this is like going on over 10 years ago. So I believe that a lot has changed in the fitness competition industry since then, but there are still some things that people are doing, and there's also, you know, other quick tricks and quick fixes to get yourself in a place where you look like you're stage ready. So it actually took quite a bit of time to prepare. There's an off season, believe it or not, in the fitness industry. So if you depending on, you know, which category you are going to be in, generally you want to take a phase of building some muscle so that when you actually finally shed some of the fat that's overlaying the muscle, that you have something that's going to be there, that's going to show up, right? So generally you don't take somebody who has never worked out before and then just deplete them of all their fat and then get them to walk across stage. they probably may not have much of an underlayer underneath. They won't have a lot to show. So there's an off season, which required me to, eat a ton of calories and do a lot of long training days at the gym, and I can say that I didn't really enjoy that part because I actually felt like I was getting bigger and bigger and bigger because I was in a building phase, right? So
yeah.
And this was the way that they taught me. So whether there is another way now, I don't know. Because I'm not in that industry. It's not something that I teach or I practice. Yeah. I can say that, so there is like that building phase, but then when you get into the phase where you're trying to lean out and trying to, shed the body fat, and eventually as you get closer to your show or a photo shoot, going on stage, there are some things that you do that just aren't healthy in general. But I consider it just like other sports that would require you to look a certain way. So there is that element, right? So if you took wrestling for an example, like if you wanted to wrestle and stay in your body weight, then you have to do some things to stay in your body weight category, right? Whether that's training really hard. I've heard of people wearing sweats and saran wrap and just like sweating out the extra water. So things like that, right? So were there things that I was doing? Absolutely. There was things that I was doing in order to get me to a place where I could be stage ready. And because I was, younger, naive, and not really sure what to expect, I did struggle with the eating portion and the obsession of food. So the first bout was the building phase was I was eating a ton of food. And then we shifted into, that leaning out phase where, okay, now we're depriving me of some of the things that I was eating before. And it was leading into these habits of, binging on certain foods and then taking different supplements so that I could, pass out whatever it is that I just had because of the guilt and because, I was obviously still wanting to get to a certain stage. So there was a lot of that going on, and I am, in my darkest hour, I'm not proud of those moments. If I, if I were to fast forward now and compete in a show, do I think I could do it in a healthier way? Yes. But at the end of the day, I still know that in order to be in a place where you're going on stage, or you're going to, show up and be on camera, of course, we all do things like that, right? Like,
absolutely.
You're going to go to the beach in a week, you're going to probably eat a little healthier for the week, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be more disciplined. So things like that. But yes, there was things that I was doing in order to get into a certain place. It actually caused, a little bit of an eating disorder, throughout my later 20s, as well as, body confidence issues of my weight fluctuating, up and down after I finished competing. And I simply didn't want anything to do with that side of the fitness industry anymore because, I just had this negative, I didn't have the most positive experience, even though, sure, I had the photos to show, I did it, and I was proud of myself. It's not easy. So, everybody's different, and it really depends on what kind of lifestyle you want to live, because I do feel like when you want to compete in those shows that yes, there takes a certain maturity to be in a lifestyle. And, in my mid 20s, maybe I wasn't at the state that I needed to be disciplined enough to, not going out with my friends and eating, eating late at night or going drinking or whatever. Yeah. it did require quite a bit of discipline, and maybe competing at an older age, maybe there is some advantages there, right? I'm not doing some of those things that I was doing before. So
yeah. And I think that that's a really important message, and I appreciate you sharing that, because I think, again, some people have this idea that there is the fitness industry or the competition industry, like you mentioned, it is like any other sport or any other event that you are preparing for. It is definitely not a lifestyle balanced way to kind of go about things. And so there are, I would imagine, a ton of women and even a ton of men who are suffering from eating disorders or disordered eating of some sort that go into that sort of competition, because you're surrounded by it. You're so regimented and everything is kind of towards a certain goal. And so I've actually had conversations, and I might just say a little bit of arguments with people who are personal trainers or in the gym industry about a calorie being a calorie. And so from the perspective of somebody who is getting to a place, like if a, let's say a man or a woman is getting to this place to compete, let's say, yes, you know what? Sometimes a calorie is a calorie. Bulking is kind of what you do. You eat certain things, you don't eat certain things, you go through certain phases. But I think it depends what your goals are ultimately. Yeah. And if we're looking at a Big Mac versus the same calories in meat and vegetables, well, you and I can both say that a calorie is not a calorie. But in that setting, perhaps it is for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is you could eat a Big Mac and still lose weight, and yeah, that wouldn't be healthy. Like if you just eat a Big Mac every day, mm-hmm. But how are you going to feel, right? And the same thing goes with, you know, you could eat real, whole, healthy foods all the time and be gaining weight. Yeah. So at the end of the day, yeah, it does matter what it is that you're putting into your body, and the quality of the foods really will make a huge difference on how you feel when you are, whatever it is that you're doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's switch gears into now your kind of life after kids, and tell me a little bit about your family.
Sure. Yeah. So I have two children right now. They're 6 and 3.5. I've got a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
And we're keeping busy doing, you know, one of them's in school, one of them's in full-time daycare, which allows me the time that I need to really focus on the business that I'm creating. And life is busy. It's been a huge change from obviously just being married and not having children. And I'm one of those moms that started with, you know, I was a puppy mom first, so a dog mom. And I was like setting the stage to having kids and all of the responsibilities that come along with it. But not realizing, you know, how much that would take up of my time. And also, you know, I knew it would take up a lot of my time, but I didn't realize, how I was going to change throughout, you know, the stages of my child's life, because, as women, we tend to be very selfless, and always giving. And that's what I did with my first. And for me, I didn't have anybody telling me, you know, take care of yourself first. It's really important to take care of you. I missed that message somewhere along the lines. And so I really struggled with feeling like myself after I had my first. It took a long time to find myself again. So yeah.
And so what changed from a fitness and health perspective in your mentality after having kids?
For sure. So what I realized, one, is I didn't have all the time in the world. I also didn't have the energy that I had beforehand. Like, you know, when you don't have kids, you can take a nap whenever you want to and then wake up a little bit later and gym and have a workout. When you have kids, you can't just take a nap any time of day that you want to. You are on a schedule, and you have, you know, responsibilities. And what I have done is really prioritize the things that were important to me so that I could fit fitness into my life, because you know, you can fill your day and consume it with all the things that you need to do, just like the regular, you know, routine stuff. And you could go through days and weeks on end without you know, taking that time for you. So the shift of fitness is, when can I fit into my busy mom lifestyle? And I also shifted from the perspective of wanting to look a certain way. So actually this mentality changed before I had kids. So I met my husband basically the weekend of my show, a little bit before my fitness competition, and he trains athletes. So he trains people to perform better. Mm-hmm. At their best in their bodies. And I really liked that style of training because I was like, okay, I don't want to just train to, you know, look good in a bikini. No, I want to run faster, stronger. I didn't have a sport that I was playing, but my sport was, I want to be able to get up and do whatever it is that I want to do. And so fast forward, after I had kids, this style of training really resonated with me because, one, you're moving your whole body in more functional ways so that you can keep up with your kids and you can go hiking with them and you can do all of these different things that maybe I wasn't able to do before because I'm training for life as opposed to training to have a certain set of physical standards.
Absolutely. And you and your husband own a gym, right?
We do. We own a gym in Barrie, Ontario. Yeah. I say that it's his space, but I do use it for my coaching as well. So it's called the Institute of Sport Performance and Wellness.
Yeah.
And he trains it's inside a hockey rink. So yeah. He does train a lot of hockey players from youth all the way up to pro hockey players. But he has quite a large active adult clientele that come in there, often, you know, busy business professionals that want to get in, get a good workout in so that they can get back to, you know, their business or their family and things like that. And they don't have the time to go to the gym for hours at a day. So.
Yeah. And so was this an endeavor you did together, or did he own this before, or, and you guys kind of built it together? What's that look like from the gym perspective?
Sure. So actually, we are not originally from Barrie. We met in Hamilton, and we were there for 6 years together. And we decided when we wanted to raise our family that we wanted to move somewhere that had more of a lifestyle that we liked. You know, lots of trails and hiking and the lake nearby that you could actually swim in. No offense. But I love the water and being on the water on a stand-up paddleboard. And so I wanted to have, I wanted to live an active lifestyle with kids. So that actually meant moving away from our support system, moving away from our family and a lot of our friends, and moving somewhere where we knew nobody. Yeah. But Barrie is an amazing hockey community, which is why we chose Barrie. My husband started his training. He opened the doors of his gym just a couple of months shy of when we had our first child.
Wow. Good for you guys.
Yeah. Which was a whole other challenge.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, moving with having little kids and being fully away from all of your supports. That's a wild change.
Mm-hmm. It is. And we, you know, we're just grateful now that we got through it, but it has been a hard road. What I do love about Barrie is that it has an amazing community. There's a lot of other moms that are solo parenting here. So there are people that you can reach out to. We ended up, you know, having some amazing clients that loved to babysit. So yeah. We felt really safe. And I have to say that I did, even though we had moved further away from family, that they were quite supportive in showing up and coming and making the long trek to Barrie, even on days like today, like a snow day, yeah. To help us so that we could run our business and take care of the kids and all that. So yeah.
That's awesome. And so on that note, we live in such a busy world with kids' activities. And I know your kids do a lot of activities and you guys do a lot of activities as a family, which is amazing. How do you find the motivation to get your workouts in, like you personally, when you could just phone it in when you're doing all these sorts of things all day?
Sure. So I think the biggest motivation is that I know I'm at a point now, I've been active, my whole life. I know that I don't feel good if I don't move often. And I went through that after I had had my son, a period of, not being consistent with being physical and moving every day. So for me, it's a non-negotiable, and I don't have the motivation. It's not that I have motivation every day to work out. It's just that I know that I feel better after I do. And I feel better, not just, in my energy and, and not even really my clothes, but I also feel better mentally. I feel like, I've taken a little bit of time for me and I can show up better as a parent. And just show up better for my kids if I've taken, that 30 minutes or whatever it is, that time for myself. But I see it all the time because my kids are super busy. We have a gym in a rink. My son is in hockey at that rink. And I see a lot of the parents, they are there for their kids, picking up, dropping off, watching their kids do their sports.
Yeah.
And end up being on the sidelines. I guess the convenient aspect is that I have a gym inside the rink. So, that option is always available to parents that are there. Hey, come and grab a workout while your kids are on the ice. Yeah. And we often do have, some of our youth clients that come in and train with us. They have now been. Parents are now coming to train with us as well because they see it as an important piece to just living just a healthier lifestyle. And so for me, the motivation, again, it's not always there, but I make sure that I fit it in, just like brushing my teeth, I probably fit fitness in over sleep, to be honest, because it's that important to me. And I've actually kind of like figured out, some unique strategies to, if I haven't gotten enough sleep at night, I turn to meditation because I know that I can be like quite relaxed and focused in a short period of time. If I don't have, an hour to catch up on sleep, I can take 15 minutes of meditation and get even better benefits than taking sleep. So I do cheat the system in that way, or not cheat, but just I've found other ways to, and other tools to help me through that aspect. But it's a non-negotiable. It's something that I make sure that I fit in, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's doing something active with my kids, whether it's going out and doing something for myself. Like I said, I love to stand a paddleboard or go on the trails in the summer or even in the winter with or without my kids, whether it's going to a yoga class, whether it's just doing some sort of movement at home just to feel good. I make it part of my day.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. And so from a perspective of you being a coach and having clients, what are the main things that you find moms are struggling with the most from a physical fitness perspective, from a lifestyle perspective? What are the struggles that you see most often?
Yeah. So, the biggest struggles that I know moms have is fitting it into their life. So they say that they're not able to find the time, and they lack the energy, and many of them also lack the knowledge of what to do. So I feel like all of those things can be, one can lead to the other, because the time aspect really is, it's the priorities. Yeah. If fitness or moving is not a priority, you're not going to make it happen. Right. So if you're not moving, or you're not, eating healthy foods and you're not getting enough sleep at night, sure, you're not going to have the energy to work out. And so therefore you're not going to have the motivation, because those two are definitely linked together, energy and motivation.
Yep.
And then I think that one of the other pieces is not everybody knows what to do. So you set aside the time, you know that it's important to you, you know that it feels good. But then what are you supposed to do when you actually have that time? You've got 30 minutes. And I know, classes are great, but we don't always have the time to get to a class. If you piece together how much time it takes to actually go out to do a physical class, you're looking at about 2 hours for an hour, just under an hour class, and we don't, as parents, we don't always have that kind of time. So what I do is I help moms piece together that knowledge gap. I fill in the gap of what is it that you can do so that you can maximize your time and you can get it done so that you can go on and focus on all the other things that you need to do for the rest of your day, which is endless, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think especially with women in particular, going to a gym, a regular gym, can be extremely intimidating. And I know that if, especially if you don't know what to do, you don't know what equipment to use, you don't really know how to use it. And you're kind of like, well, I'm not going to go stand in front of the mirror and start lifting weights beside all of these men who are huffing and puffing. And so I think there's the intimidation factor where women are like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm just going to get on the elliptical. And they just go on the elliptical for 20 minutes and they probably don't get out of it what they really wanted to get out of that workout. They may sweat. They may get a great cardiovascular workout, but it's really tough, I find, to even go out to a gym and do that beyond doing a class. And then I think on top of that, I have patients who have certain injuries and they don't know how to work within those injuries or within those boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those are two key elements as well. Like I own a gym. We own a gym that's more for athletic performance. So we don't have a lot of that, you know, that the standard fitness equipment. And to be honest, if you were to throw me into a regular gym, it would take me some time to be like, okay, what am I going to do today with the tools that I have, the time that I have, and to maximize my time and what my goals are. So even as a trainer, I would have to think about it and maybe write it down. And
yeah.
I may be at a different stage than some of the moms just starting out fitness wise. So that aspect for sure, going into a gym is absolutely, it can be very intimidating. And I know, you know, just by default, women are naturally drawn to cardiovascular equipment. Maybe they are embarrassed, maybe they're intimidated to step onto, you know, the weight training floor, or they just don't know what to do, so they don't have that confidence. But their best bang for their buck, really, you know, absolutely. I mean, I guess it depends on their goals, but their best use of time would be to do a combination of things, some cardio and also some, you know, some weight training, but getting the body moving in full ranges of motion, as opposed to, you know, just going in and lifting the weights and doing bicep curls for, you know, 30 minutes. Sure, you're going to build some strength and maybe some size in your biceps, but and maybe you're not going to be able to lift your kids later because so there's that piece. And then the other piece is, you know, many moms, especially, you know, getting back into fitness after kids, there's the aspect of it's important to re-strengthen our bodies as they are. So not to jump into doing things, you know, right away, right after you've had kids. Your body's not ready for that. We've had, you know, tremendous changes that have had to happen to our body. Regardless of the way that you birthed your baby, you know, you've carried a baby for, you know, whether for a period of time. So we need to re-strengthen the core, the muscles of the pelvic floor. And we need to be making sure that the exercises that we're doing are being supportive of strengthening those areas so that we don't run into risks of injuries. I can tell you that most moms who, you know, have been, you know, bounced back into fitness quite quickly and started getting back into things like running and jumping sooner than maybe they probably should have, are suffering maybe from some back pain or they've got pee incontinence. And so they're dealing with those issues, those things can always be, there is a way around those things and eventually to get you stronger. But if you start off in a way that you're able to move with where you are and strengthen yourself on a regular basis, then you're going to be able to get back into the things that you used to do before a lot faster than just being like, I'm just going to go for it and give it a try and see how it goes. And then you end up with an injury and you end up on the couch for another 3 months because you're in too much pain, or you feel like you can't do things because of the injury. You can.
Okay, so I know that a big part about what you do with your clients is discussing goal setting and setting goals. So tell me a little bit about this process.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I strongly believe that having a goal is probably one of the biggest pieces to actually reaching a goal, and setting the goal within reach, but something that you're working towards doing. So, you know, initially when I talk to moms, they end up wanting to work with me. They have goals of wanting to lose a certain amount of weight in a certain period of time. And so it's important to, you know, break down the goal and figure out, okay, so is this goal, is this achievable for you? Have you been at that weight before? Or are we kind of just like pulling numbers out of the air? Sure, maybe that initial goal is the weight loss, but we go deeper into why they want to lose weight. And it often just becomes, you know, they're not feeling good in their bodies. They want to be more active with their kids. Maybe they have an injury, or they have a bad back, or their core feels weak, or they want to, you know, strengthen the area around the abdominals, you know, that area that we call the mummy tummy section. Many moms want to help to flatten the mummy tummy. And So we look at what the bigger goal is, and then we can take it into smaller steps, smaller achievable goals, over a period of time. So, it doesn't feel like, okay, well, I've got to lose, you know, 30 pounds in the next 3 months. Well, is that realistic? Well, it actually depends on, you know, a number of factors. You know, how much discipline do you have? How much time do you have? I help to create those goals together, and then break those goals down into smaller, realistic, achievable. Okay, what do we need to do on a regular basis, on almost a daily basis, so that we are consistently moving towards those goals? And the goals may change. And for some moms, like, if the initial goal was to lose a certain amount of weight, and then what they've realized is actually they're quite content with where they've ended up, losing some weight, but also, you know, gaining some lean muscle tissue because they've been exercising, and they feel good and they're able to do more things. They're not as concerned with that, you know, end number on the scale, because it is just a number. It's a tool that I can use to help to see if, you know, if my clients are hitting a plateau along their weight loss journey, and if we need to make some tweaks, whether it be with their fitness, with their nutrition, or maybe some of their aspects of their mindset. And so the goals are really important. If we don't have a goal, then you're basically just leaving it up to the universe to figure out what it is that you want, and you're less likely to do what it is that you need to do on a regular basis to move towards that goal. But if you have a goal in mind, like I had a goal when I had to show up on stage, I was going to show up on stage that day, so I had to do what it took to get on stage. If you're going to go run a marathon, I would hope that you would do what it takes to be at a place where you can actually complete the marathon. And that's not just, you know, going for a run randomly every, you know, couple of weeks. There is a training strategy around, you know, any of these goals.
And so on that note, I know a lot of people must come to you with specific goals or a specific endpoint or a specific kind of weight loss path that they want to take. And I find that a lot of it can be unrealistic or unachievable. And how do you navigate that idea between creating realistic goals and creating an endpoint that makes sense and looking at that from a holistic perspective?
Absolutely. I'll be the first one to tell you, if you came to me and said you wanted to do a fitness show, I would refer you to a trainer that I know that helps people through that, because that is not something that I coach anymore. The goals that I help my clients through have more to do with, you know, losing some weight, getting back into fitness, creating a regular routine lifestyle, becoming role models for their kids. And really it's creating a lifestyle approach to fitness, because not everybody most of the people that I meet that end up coming on board as a client, you know, they haven't been in the fitness industry for this long. They just want to, maybe they don't even love fitness, but they learn to appreciate the importance of doing it, right? Whereas, you know, there's other people that are out there that that love the fitness industry, and they may have a different or love fitness and love to do specific things in the fitness realm. So they're going to have different goals, right? And that is an important piece to, you know, making the choice of whether you need to work with somebody or, and the generally the people that are the moms that I work with, have that similar mindset of, look at, I want to get back into that regular routine. I want to get stronger. I do have some moms that are like, I want to do a triathlon. And I have another mom that is working on a personal best for deadlifts. Like, I can help coach through those things. But I'm not in the mindset of helping you to be stage ready. It's not to say that I can't help you feel good in a bikini when the time comes, if you give us enough time to get there. But yeah, it's a realistic and sustainable approach. And also, you know, loving where you are today. And even, you know, I could look in the mirror today and be like, okay, well, winter's been a little, you know, kind and generous to me. I'm feeling a little fluffy. I have been enjoying my life. Like, I've been, every decision that I've been making, there's no guilt. Sure, if I had more time and didn't have kids, I could spend more time exercising. And if I had a chef available to me every day, then I could be eating, you know, specific foods all the time. But I am content with where I am. And I know that I'm slow. It's all about the progress and not having to be like at a certain place at a certain amount of time and then doing whatever is the drastic, you know, dieting or yo-yo dieting or hours in the gym kind of thing to get to that place.
So I know a big part about what you do has to do with body confidence and creating women and moms who are confident in their bodies. So talk to me about how you create confidence.
So that's a really big piece. So I think in order to gain confidence is we do that by doing. So the more that you do something, more that you do a task, the more confident that you'll feel in that task. So body confidence in the sense of being confident in knowing what to do in your workouts, feeling stronger in your body, is by doing the work daily on a regular basis to feel confident in what it is that you're doing. And then the other body confidence piece is, you know, you have a body and we all have bodies. Our moms have had bodies that have bared and carried children. It's important for us to love ourselves on where we are today. But working with what we have as opposed to, you know, longing for where we used to be and always, you know, flipping back to the past or looking to the future. It's like, no, I'm comfortable in my body now. I often use like mantras or positive affirmations. We do some meditations like that with my clients, especially if they are struggling a little bit with that body confidence. I strongly believe that when you believe that you are, that you feel good in your body, and you believe that you look good in your body, then you radiate that to the others around you. But if your mindset is like, you're always coming from a place of lack, you don't like the way that you look, you're always looking at, you know, where you need to, you know, you're pulling apart your body and just looking in the mirror in disgust. Well, that is what is going to be reflected back at you. Instead of looking at it in more of a positive mindset of like, what is it that you can do? Check out this amazing body, birthed babies. And now look at what you can do with your body. And who cares if you have, you know, a little bit of extra skin and stretch marks. You know, most people do have those things. We just have, settings on our phone, and we've got airbrushing. And I even was, going to drastic measures to look that perfect, look as if we're perfect. But really, you'll see it more and more in social media, which I think is great, is that people are showing up and sharing, like, even though I am somebody that competes in competitions, when I go into a position like tabletop position, you can see my belly hanging out. I have extra skin. It's flabby. There was a baby in there at one time. And will that ever go away? Well, it really depends on a number of factors. But the thing is just being confident with where you are in that moment, will help you to move forwards and to work towards your goals in a way that is more positive, as opposed to, constantly not believing that you can do it and then just feeling defeated and unhappy.
And so I know one of the things that is really important in your business with your clients is taking a holistic lifestyle approach to weight loss and fitness. And so I want to talk a little bit about diets. Are there specific diets that you subscribe to personally that you recommend to your clients? Intermittent fasting, keto, etc.?
Yeah, so I can say on the whole, over the number of years, I have dabbled and played with, the majority of the diets that are out there. I have, I've tried intermittent fasting. I have tried keto. I've tried going vegan. I've tried, back in the day where they had the Atkins diet, the zone diet. Like, I have tried all of those different diets. And for me is more of, a whole foods lifestyle approach to eating. But it's not to say that, somebody's, so for myself, no, I don't do the dieting. But there are days that you could technically say that I've had, sure, a keto meal, or, a meal that is a vegan meal, or I've taken the morning off of eating. So I have, intermittent fasted. But to say that I follow a diet, no, I do not follow a diet. Now, some of these diets do have some useful tools with them, for specific people. So, for example, with the intermittent fasting, this is something that I may use with certain clients that, one, don't often have as much time during the day to get in, six meals throughout the day. So, and they also prefer to eat larger amounts of food in one setting. If they were a bit of a snacker, and they want to get out of the snacking habit, then using intermittent fasting could be useful as a tool to, let's say, okay, so let's give it a try. We're going to fast for these hours, and this is when you're going to have your real whole foods. And it's not about, restricting foods, or I don't even count calories. But you can use, let's say, for example, a keto meal here or there, or intermittent fasting, to help you when you look at your week overall, and to get you into a negative deficit overall throughout the week, so that if your goal is weight loss, then that's where we need to be. But to be honest, most moms that come to me aren't at a place where they need to be doing, full keto all the time. And I don't personally believe that it's healthy. That's my personal opinion. Do I have clients that want to go keto, that want to eat keto? My suggestion is kind of guiding them in a way where you're eating, enough carbohydrates, but still feel like you're having a balanced meal in a keto version. Like, it's like my own version of keto. But again, we're not counting those calories or measuring out how much sugar, carbohydrates we're having in a day. And it depends on the body type. It depends on your physical activity. So if you're somebody that wants to train for being a runner, or more for, a more endurance type sports, you're going to need more carbohydrates in your diet. And so your diet may look a little bit different than You know, another mom that spends the day at her desk and does a 30-minute workout every day. So there is that piece of looking at a healthy lifestyle and healthy eating plan for the individual is based on, you know, a number of factors. Your, you know, how much you're working out and your intensity, what it is that you're doing, but also what is your daily activity, your need, you know, what are you doing there? It's like, if you have a celebration, sure, go and have what they're having if you want to have it. If you don't want to have it, that's okay. And you know, one of the harder things that I know that I don't struggle with this anymore, but I know some of, you know, my clients do, is when they go to a social gathering and people are asking, well, why don't you want to eat the pizza and, you know, the artichoke dip with the tortilla chips? Like, are you on a diet? And it's like, well, no, this is how I eat. I don't eat those foods because they don't make me feel good. And it's not about dieting, it's about eating foods that serve your body. And so the approach that I take is eating real whole foods, a variety of foods every day. And eating foods that also are that you like, that you don't, so you don't feel like you're depriving yourself. I'm not gonna make somebody eat something that they don't want to eat. But also, you know, knowing that, okay, let's do you like fish? Can we try it? Okay, well, let's try some varieties of fish. Or and you'll find that the more that you eat real whole foods, the more that you crave those foods, the more that your body wants those foods, and it's less likely to be served by having, you know, foods that are processed, high in sugars. So your actual taste buds will change as you start eating cleaner, eating healthier whole foods. And because, you know, I work with moms, many of them, you know, they're doing the cooking themselves. So we're talking scratch cooking. They don't eat out a lot because we all know that sometimes taking kids out to eat at restaurants can be a nightmare. It's not to say they can't be good, but yeah, so we're making healthy, real whole foods. So if they're the ones that are making the food, well, let's make foods that, you know, are going to serve them, are going to make them feel good, and they want to eat them because it's something that they would normally eat, but they're eating it in a more of a balanced way, that they don't feel like they're deprived or they don't feel like they're on a diet, and they understand that this is a lifestyle approach. And sure, maybe you're not losing, you know, the drastic weight right away, that you normally would have if you would have taken the dieting approach. But here's the thing, you're not going to have that bounce back. You're not going to yo-yo back into, you know, losing 5 pounds 1 week and then gaining 5 pounds the other week. You're going to be on a gradual decline of losing the fat in your body and feeling good when you do it.
Absolutely. And so I know you talk a lot about cooking at home and getting kind of the basics under control. And so how do you mix that in with being a role model for your kids and being able to teach them to start exhibiting healthy behaviors in their lives?
I mean, I feel like it's been through trial and error. I would not say that before I had kids that I was any sort of baker. I could make clean whole foods because I learned how to do that through like the you know, the fitness competition days of like how to cook plain chicken, how to cook plain broccoli. But now I over time and just through practice, I've become more confident in the kitchen, confident with my skills, more knowledgeable about, you know, how to pair certain foods together that taste really good. But I love getting the kids involved. And what I found is I have two picky eaters, whether they're picky because they really don't like the food or whether they're just being, you know, kids that day. Sometimes it's distinguish. Because I know at the end of the day, if my kids are starving, they will eat anything in front of them, like they will. Moms that their kids would adamantly not ever eat that. And I don't know if it's because eventually their parents would give in and let them have the cheese and the crackers or whatever for dinner every day. But when you let your kids help you with the cooking, when you get them involved, I even get them involved at the meal planning stage. Hey guys, what do you guys want to have for dinners this week? Okay, you want to have burgers, you want to have, you know, pasta one night, you want to have eggs,
Awesome. Okay, so we go through that together. So we meal plan together, and then of course I make the tweaks because they're not often suggesting, the vegetables. But my son, who is a bit older, we're talking about macronutrients, and we're talking about his energy levels and his constant need for snacking. And so he's aware that if he's just having carbohydrates for breakfast, that he's going to be hungry again a lot sooner and be wanting to have more food. And so we have that conversation around, okay, bud, like let's choose a really healthy protein or a healthy fat so we can balance that out. Which one do you want to choose from? And I let them make that choice, and they understand now what is healthy, what is not healthy. Often, whatever's in the cupboard and in packages is processed. So okay, pick something that's real, that has color, and that can be a challenge because, of course, the food industry does this lovely way of marketing to our kids, that makes them want to eat all of the packaged goods as opposed to eating, an apple or a carrot or eat olives. But I mean, I know that I could always do better with my kids, but I feel like we are on, a really positive spin of teaching them how to eat real whole foods in a balanced way. And to be honest, like not just in like the eating healthy, but I have also had to learn how to make foods because my son was anaphylactic to egg for the first 6 years of his life. So I've had to how to use alternate ingredients so that he's not have we're not cooking with eggs when he's eating them. So I feel like I've experimented through that challenge and figured out different ways. Okay, so I can replace the eggs. We can use flax. We could use applesauce and we're in some baking. And so that has allowed me to be more creative in the kitchen. And there's always an alternative to something that's more processed in using like a healthier alternative to those foods. And it's not always the ones that my kids would reach for, but they're understanding the importance of reaching for those more often than not. And it's hit or miss some days. Some days they love what I make, and some days they don't. And I don't expect my kids to finish a plate of something that they don't like, but I do always expect them to try what I make. I always want them to do their best with the foods and understanding, like, I come from the opinion of like, sometimes you have to eat stuff that you don't like the taste of it because it's good for you. And I know adults, some adults that don't eat any vegetables. And here's the thing, sometimes you got to eat the vegetables even if you don't like them because our body needs those micronutrients, right? So it's about teaching a balance of there's a balance of saying, okay, sometimes I know you don't like this fish. I learned through trial and error how my kids like to have their foods. They like them on more on the plain side. So I don't like to cook two separate meals, but I make theirs more plain. I often have them separated as opposed to piling all the food together. And I'm sure I was like that as a kid as well. So piecing the meal together, then I know they're more likely to eat it. But always having, the fresh variety of fruits and vegetables on the table, especially as the snack before dinner. Because if they're, coloring while I'm making dinner, they will snack on the healthy stuff. And so then I don't mind if, if all else fails and they don't end up liking what the actual dinner is, and then they end up having to have something later at night because they're hungry. I don't feel guilty about that because I know that they've had, some good nutrition. But at the end of the day, I think it's important in getting your kids involved in the kitchen, getting them learning about, healthy meals, healthy foods. And understanding that we have to have things that maybe we don't like because they are good for us. And we're the parents, so we need to help them make that decision. Because if my kids had the choice, they'd have candy and cookies and cake all day every day. And that's not healthy, right? Like,
So, yeah, I'm pretty passionate about that.
So thank you so much for all this information. And I'm sure people must be wondering a little bit more how they can get in touch with you or learn a little bit more about your programs. So Tell me more about your Be Mom Strong program.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you for letting me do that. So I'm the founder of the Be Mom Strong Training Academy. And so I can tell you a little bit about why I started it and what is available to moms out there. I found that there was this, really big need for helping moms return to work, actually. So I was doing a lot of mom and baby fitness classes here in Barrie at our gym. And what I found was that after moms would be done their mat leave, they would be going back to work and then they would stop going to the gym, they would stop exercising, and then you know what happens, the lifestyle habits change. They eat unhealthier foods, and they had just spent maybe 6 months of their mat leave getting into great shape, and then they really struggle with that transition. So I created an online membership site. So it's global, it's accessible. Basically, it's like a Netflix for moms, and it's a holistic approach to having healthy, realistic ways of fitting fitness and healthy eating, and also mindset tools for your everyday mom life, and in small enough doses that moms can absorb the material and fit in that short workout. I've created like a full methodology of the training style that I do and why I teach and coach the have the the specific workouts that I do. There's a whole philosophy around progressing the workouts in a way that I know the moms will be able to be confident in doing these exercises, and then gradually moving them to a place where they can do more high impact, more high intensity exercises. So I've created a membership site where they can go in, they can log in, they can have access to their workouts, they have a workout plan, and also they have they start to learn about what macronutrients are, how to eat real whole foods in a balanced way, and so I created this so that moms all over the world would have access to this information. And I also include, coaching and yoga and meditation, because I believe that all of those are really great tools to include at certain times in your life. It's funny, I was just on the phone on a coaching call with a client the other day, and she's moving through, let's say, month 5 of the membership. And she's like, my body was really tired this month. I really just needed to slow down. So I was doing more of the yoga workouts, and I was gradually drawn to that, and I was doing the yoga on a regular basis. And that's really amazing, because eventually you learn to notice what your body needs. And she had all the tools to do that, and she was still able to take time each day to do something for herself. In a way that felt that was easy for her to do. And then we're talking about a mom who drives an hour and a half to go to work every day, has kids in school. So she's up at like 5:30 in the morning, home by 6:30. You got to do the dinners and the after school sports and all those things. Not a lot of time. Like I work with a lot of moms that are like that. So the Be Mom Strong training membership site is an all access pass to these tools. And every month we have new challenges and helping the moms transition. Now I also have my VIP coaching. So this is for moms that have specific tailored goals that, or they have specific goals in mind, and they need more of a tailored and a personalized program. So the VIP access gives you more of a personalized experience in the workouts. So, I've got moms that want to have a PB in their deadlifts, moms that are working towards a triathlon. So they have taken on more of a personalized approach, and they also want to have more personalization in the healthy eating. They want somebody to tell them what to eat, but they want to eat foods that they like, instead of being given a meal plan and being like, oh, I don't eat any of these foods. Like, if somebody made me a meal plan and none of it was stuff that I ate, you're not likely to be successful, right? So that's where the personalization and the tailoring comes in, is creating those meal plans and a workout plan, whether you're just starting off as a new mom, whether you have an injury you're working on, whether you have a specific performance or a weight loss or health goal. So there are a couple of different options for moms. And thank you so much for letting me share that with
All right. Thank you so much for that. And where can everyone find you? Instagram or Facebook? Give us some information so that people can reach out if they want to know more information about your programs or anything else.
Sure. Yeah. So you can connect with me on Instagram. It's Alyssa Blaze Yoga and Fitness. Blaze, B-L-A-I-S. So I'm sure you could add it in the show notes. How to spell my name. And then I also have a free Facebook support group, and I give lots of tips and recipes and advice, and you can find some motivation in there. So whether you're on, you know, Instagram, and you can follow my stories and follow my posts there, or you can get more of an experience through a support group, the free support group, or, you know, of course, you can connect with me, reach out to me, DM me, and I'm happy to connect with you and figure out how we can fit fitness and a healthy lifestyle into, you know, your busy mom life.
All right. Thank you so much for joining this week's episode of the Well Women Podcast. I'm Dr. Laura, and I will put all of the information so that you can reach out to Alyssa Blaze. I'll put that in the podcast show information write-up so that you can reach out to her. If you have any questions about this week's episode, you can email Laura at laurapifer.com. You can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Laura ND. Thanks, guys. Bye.